Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day. Pray, O God, as we meditate on your word, that we will hear with our hearts as well as our mind. And then, Lord, as we have of communion too, we will remember why we have it, that it was you, O Lord, that gave it to us because of your salvation and, Lord, of your giving to us of your all so that we could be saved from tyranny and from death. Pray, O God, you'll be with us now in Jesus' name. Amen. The gospel text is found in Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 35 through 40. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Luke 12, beginning at verse 35. Then let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them to sit down to eat, and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known the hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in thy truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look and read in Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, or the whole chapter of verse 4, we find in the Hebrew text, or in the Hebrew Bible, that our chapter 4 is a continuation of chapter 3 in theirs. They don't have a chapter 4. They put those six verses in a continuation. And if you read that whole thing through, you'll find that God not only warns the people, but he also tells us that he is coming again. And when he comes, it will be as a fire burning up the stubble or burning up the wicked people at the end of the period of age. And we find this so very, very prevalent. We find, too, in Hebrews, when we read that, it says, do not throw away or do not let your confidence go. We have confidence that Christ has saved us. We have confidence that God sent Jesus into the world. And as he sent Jesus into the world, he came for one purpose, and that was to free us from the bondage of sin. That he did. Christ freed us from that bondage of sin, and when he did, he made us free that we could follow him, and he made us free in that if we have Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, spiritually we are free from sin. And Scripture tells us that our spirit then is without sin. Our physical body is still sinful because it's on this earth. And Satan will do everything he can to try and put our spirit back in bondage. Satan will do everything he can to try and entice us to leave the Word of God, to try and entice us to step out of God's hands and to follow him, to try and see how much material stuff we can get for ourselves and not look at the spiritual end of life, to try and help us to realize that the time in beyond our day here means nothing, is what Satan wants us to believe and do. So we see Jesus, as he looks in this chapter 12, we find that he has been teaching the disciples as well as the Pharisees and Sadducees around him and the other people at least five different times of what is going on. He teaches that, you know, Christ is going to suffer. He teaches that we should fear God. He teaches also that if we are willing to stand up for him and proclaim him amongst the men and women in our life, in the physical life, he will do the same thing for us in heaven. And he will proclaim us then before God the Father and before the holy angels. But he also says, if you do not do this on earth, I will deny you if you deny me. You see, Jesus says, I do not know you if you're going to work against him. Yet we find if we have Christ in our heart and if we let Christ lead us and guide us the way we should, then we find we would gird ourselves up, as it tells us in Ephesians, that we should put on the whole armor of God. And as we put on the whole armor of God, we find that we put on the helmet of salvation, and we put on the Spirit, and we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we use that to protect ourselves from the tyranny of Satan himself and from what Satan is trying to do. We find that the closer we draw to God, the closer he draws to us. How do we do that? We do it by reading and studying the Word of God, by asking God not to only forgive us of our sins, but to help us to live for him day by day, that we are girded about with the Word of the Lord. Then we see too, and he says, keep your lamps burning. And we find that Jesus has said that if we have him as our personal Lord and Savior, our lamps will be burning bright. We don't want to put it under a bushel, and a city with that is lit up on a hilltop cannot be hid. Are we willing to go out and have our light so shine before man and before those around us that they see our good work and glorify God? It is not the work that we do, but it's the work Christ is doing through us that we find these are the good works that would be rewarded in heaven forever. Then Jesus says that we should be like the men that are waiting for his coming. And he says that you're waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. And as he comes and he knocks on your door, that you would suddenly open immediately. You know, we lived in a trailer home, a mobile home, I guess they call them today, but we call it a trailer house. And it, in a way, it was kind of neat that you could take, and if somebody was coming and they knocked on the door of the entry, it took you only a minute to slide everything aside, and your living room didn't look too bad. You know, it was kind of presentable. And so they were easy to clean. But God says, be ready immediately. You don't have to push anything aside. Open the door and say, welcome home, Lord. I have been waiting for you. I've been watching and waiting. I remember as a child one time my dad had went on a trip to Illinois, and he had says, I'll be back sometime around a certain date. And so as kids, we knew he was going to come, but we didn't know when. And so we did everything we could to have everything done, and yet we wanted to do our own little thing. So we would take the eggs into town and the cream, and we would sell it, and we would buy what we thought we were having a celebration. And then when we seen him coming, we knew he would want to take the eggs and cream to town himself. So we had to plan ahead so we could do this, and when he come home, he was there, and all this stuff was waiting for him to take it to town so he could take it in. And I remember him so well. He says, you know, I suppose you spent all the money. And I says, no, we didn't. He says, here, and I went up, and I think at that time, this was back in the early or late 40s, early 50s, and I gave him $32. And he says, man, you guys are really nice. You know how to take care of money, you know. And we thought we had lived on King's Hill in the time that he was gone, because we had bought what we wanted, with the money. But he was happy, and so were we, because we were expecting him, but we did not know the time he was coming. But when we seen him coming, we knew he was there, and we were ready. Open the door, Jesus says, immediately when I knock. Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock, and I knock. Are you willing to open that door immediately? Many of us aren't. And Jesus is talking there about letting him in to be your Lord and your Savior. And as you open that door and you say, Lord, come in, and he says, I will bring my Father with me, and we will sup with you, and we will live in you, because your body is the temple of God. And because your body is the temple of God, we will have our spirit in you. And then when that spirit's in you and moving you, it'll cleanse out all the evil, and it will be spiritually clean. And even though we find that we're spiritually clean, our physical body, which is still sinful, still wants to do the things of the world, because Satan is yet controlling or trying to control the world, and he wants to control you and I. But you see, when God comes into your life and into my life, God does one thing. He breaks that bondage of sin. And as he breaks that bondage of sin, you're free to serve Jesus Christ. You're free to serve the Lord, because he died on Calvary's cross for you. And as he died on Calvary's cross, he says, it is finished, before he gave up the ghost. And as he cried out, it is finished, we find that he paid and won the victory over the devil and over sin and over death. And Jesus says, you know, I am your Lord and your Savior. And when I knock, if you open immediately, you wouldn't be like the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish, and they knew Christ was coming. They knew the bridegroom was coming, and so they went to sleep. And when they woke up, 5 says, give us of your oil. And the 5 says, I can't. You see, we knew he was coming, but we didn't know when. So we were ready and prepared. Are we prepared? If Jesus knocks on your heart right now and says, I'm going to take you home to heaven, are you going to say, praise the Lord? Or are you going to say, wait a while, I don't know if I'm ready? Do you know that you have Jesus in your heart? You should. If you say, I hope so, then ask Christ to cleanse you and to make you know. Because Jesus says, if you believe on me, you do have eternal life. And what a wonderful blessing to know that, and to have that promise, and to know that our lamps are burning, that we're ready to answer that door, that we don't have to clean up, that we're ready for him at any time, that we can find that as he comes, that we would be ready for him regardless of the time of day, if it's in the second watch or the third watch. Wherever it is, when God calls us out of this world, are we ready then to meet him? If we aren't, then we should make sure. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, cleanse me from all my sin, and help me to live for you from this day forward, that you are my Lord and my Savior, that you are the one that I want to serve. You're the one that I want to be able to open that door immediately and not wait. And Jesus says, blessed are those servants that do open the door immediately, because they are prepared. They're waiting for God. They're waiting for Christ to return. They can look at the world and they see all these things that's happening, and they say, these are all pains showing that the end of the period of grace is coming. And God has given us so many signs. You know, I heard on the radio yesterday that now there are some colleges starting in New Mexico was the first one, and they're going to give amnesty and they're going to be to the students that come into the country illegally. And they'll come to these colleges, and the colleges will say, we are going to protect you, because even though you're here illegally, and you, if you want an education, we're going to make sure that you are a college that is a sanctuary college, and the law cannot touch you. We don't care about your background, how it was, or anything like that, but we're going to protect you. And so if you're illegal coming into the country, there's others that plan on following them, and they says, we will be a sanctuary college for you. You see, man is trying to make wrong right and right wrong in so many cases. And we find that God says that in the end times, one of the signs will be that we will believe lies, and we will believe many things that shouldn't be, because Satan is out there trying to destroy everything God has made. God made a perfect earth. He made a perfect human being, and he made a perfect man and wife to run that garden. And Satan came in and deceived them, and they sinned. When they sinned, they fell out of grace with God, and God had to put a curse on his perfect kingdom so that the sinful man could not live in a perfect environment, because it can't happen. God says, sin will not be allowed in my heaven. Sin will not be allowed. And therefore, he says, I sent my son Jesus after I've sent all these prophets to you to preach the word, and you have, some of you have believed and some haven't. Yet I have sent them to you, and I sent my son to you, and yet you killed him and rejected him because you thought you knew better. And it was after that when the Holy Spirit finally convicted some of these people to the point, they says, what can we do to be saved because of what we have done? Repent and believe. We find this so very, very much. And then we find, too, it says that if the master of the house knew when he would be robbed or broken into, he would have taken precautions. And we find that we are told to do the same thing. Satan is there trying to break in. Satan is there to try and steal us away from God. In Revelation 3, it's God talking to the churches, Jesus talking to the churches, and he says this in Revelation 3:3, remember, do we remember that God sent Jesus into the world? Do we remember that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary? Do we remember that Jesus was put in the grave and he rose again? Praise the Lord if we do. And praise the Lord that we can thank him for doing this. We remember that. Therefore, how you have received and heard. How have you received and heard the word of God? Have you received it just on Sundays? Do we come together? We come together to try and uplift one another and to praise one another and to sing glory, praise to the Lord God, not only to help us, but to help those around us. And then we go out on Sunday, and rest of the week we are to live in such a way that God, people will see God in us. They'll see Christ shining out from us in the way we conduct our business, in the way we live, and they'll say, that person is a Christian. I want that Christ. I want that same peace and love that that person shows. That person is just in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Christ is controlling that person's life. Do we do that? Many times we have to say no, don't we? So, therefore, remember how you have heard and received. Hold fast and repent. Repent. Repent of pride. Repent of thinking you know more than you do. repent of trying to be the knowledge encyclopedia walking around or something like this, but be willing to let Christ work in you and through you to touch the hearts and lives of those around you. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come, Jesus says, upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You see, Jesus has told us to watch, to remember, to repent, and then he gives us the warning that if we are not willing to do these things, we will suffer the consequences. The consequences, of course, we know is, are you following the narrow road or the wide road? Have you chosen to follow Christ on the narrow road, even though the things in life that seem like would be fun to have, you've said, I will forego those because I want my salvation in Jesus Christ when he calls me out of this world? Or have you said, I'm going to take the wide road and get all I can, and then someplace along the line, I'll take and have time for Jesus? And we find most of those people don't, but they continue down that wide road, and they continue amassing maybe many things. They maybe get sick and even pass away, and they find that they don't have Jesus. And they find, as they were with the rich man, looking up and saying, Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger in that water and cool my tongue for the heat I'm in and the fire and the torment I'm in day and night, that there's no rest for me. And Abraham says, you know, in life you had it so good and you thought nothing about eternity. Where Lazarus thought about eternity, and he didn't have much in life, but he has eternal bliss because he believed that God came and saved him, that God sent Jesus Christ into the world to die for his sins. And so he trusted in the Lord. Jesus says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments. If you don't keep your garments clean, and if you aren't ready, you'll find that it would be as if you were naked and people will see you as you were. You cannot hide sin. You cannot hide sin. Sin will be exposed. I say, pray, God, cleanse my heart. If we have any sin we think is a secret, it will be made public in some time, if no other place, before the throne of God. Lord, cleanse me today. Help me to live for you, that my soul is clean, that my life is clean, that I serve you and you alone. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter 13, he says, take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know the time when Christ will return. Are we ready for him? Are we willing to give our all to him? Are we willing to say, Lord Jesus, take me as I am, and not only cleanse me and forgive me of my sins, but help me to live from this day forward that I may serve you in some small way, and that however you want me to serve you, I will do it. Help me not to be scared to do it, but to help me that I will call upon you at all times, because this is what God wants us to do. God wants us to turn to Christ. God wants us to live for him. God wants us to realize that Jesus died on the cross. And when he said it is finished, he had already won the battle over sin. And when he rose from the dead, he showed us that we will take our corruptibility and put on incorruption. And we find that we'll take our mortal being and we'll become immortal. And we will live forever. We will live then with Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, because we were watching and we were praying. We were uplifting other brothers and sisters in the Lord. We were making sure we gather together and that we worship Christ and that we uplift and uphold one another, that we are honest in all that we do, that we live in such a way that people will see Christ in us and glorify him. Then Jesus will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your rest." And as we take communion, we realize that even in communion, we are to remember why Jesus died for us. We are to remember why he came into the world. And we want to do that not only today, but every day, keeping our hearts and our lives clean. Lord, help us to serve you this day and every day. Help us, O Lord, to be faithful to you and to come to you day by day in grace and in holiness, seeking your guiding hand to lead us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to hymn number 19.